Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
Sports and sports and sports. Sports in your face. Sports.
Felger and Mass. Awesome. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, welcome to the program. How are you? Felger and Mazz on a Thursday. Hi, Anthony.
Good, you?
I'm just peachy, thank you. A little late with the wipe down here, so. Sorry for the late start. I thought we'd start Patriots. How do you feel about that?
Fine, I'm in.
Okay. Someone asked about this late in yesterday's show, and it got me doing something and thinking about something that we don't get to do around here very often that I actually sort of like.
What is? What? What?
And that is looking at the standings. Looking at the standings. The standings. Remember the standings?
Yeah, that usually tells you who's in what place.
Right. No, but with the Patriots, when's the last time you got into November and had to look at the standings?
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
We never get to do this. We never get to look at the standings.
Because they don't matter with the Patriots.
Because they're always, you know, four games ahead in the division and easily in the first or second seed. And the only thing you're talking about is maybe home field for the AFC title game. But there's no reason to look at the standings. There's no reason to look at the tiebreakers. There's no reason to look at the schedules. I mean, it's really, I mean, you could do it, but it's a perfunctory exercise. It's pointless.
Every once in a while, you have to look at a tiebreaker.
Every once in a while, and that's usually for the first seed, but certainly not.
That's exactly what it's for.
Right? It's for the first, but so the only thing then is whether you are home or road in the AFC title game, if it comes to that.
Correct.
And more often than not, the team that finishes one when you finishes two pukes on itself in your home anyway.
Amen.
So we never look at the standings. Now you actually have to look at the standings.
Yeah.
I enjoy doing it. In fact,
you don't really think like Miami's going to catch them, do you?
No. But I am, you know, I do think that, you know, I've long been a believer, and I think we've all seen it, what the first and second seed means. You know, the Patriots have never been one of those teams that can get hot as a road team, as a wild card team, and come out a wild card weekend and run the table. And you know, there have been a lot of teams that have done it. The Giants have done it a couple times. The Steelers did it. The Packers did it their year they won. I mean, there's a lot of teams that do it. Baltimore might have done it one year. But you've never done it. So the model for this team is, you know, fatten up in the regular season, get the bye, get home dates, and there you go. And then you, like, more often than not, they have one game to play to make the Super Bowl, like one real game. They have some tomato can in the divisional round and then one real game more often than not at home. So anyway, that's what it usually is. Not this year. They're the third seed right now. They're the third seed. Question, can they win the Super Bowl from the three seed?
I doubt it. No. No. I mean, based on what I've seen, no.
Good job, Jim.
I look at it and I say, well, to do that, you're probably going to have to win on the road in the AFC Championship game.
And if you're the three seed, you have to do it twice.
Yeah, which you have to do on the divisional round too, right?
You have to do it twice.
In theory, unless you catch a break somewhere in there.
In theory, you have to do it twice.
But more than likely, you're going to play at least one game on the road. You know, maybe you catch a break and you get a home game in the division round. But even so...
Nope, you can't as a third seed. So that...
Right, because they both get byes. Never mind.
This is another reason I generally avoid this talk, because then we start doing this.
So the answer is no.
And callers start doing
it. So now you got to win two games on the road. The answer is no.
What I just said.
Yeah.
Can they win?
Well, you should have explained it first before
I mean, I thought it was self-evident.
No, it's not.
If you don't
not
have
everybody.
If you don't have a bye, you're on the road twice after the wild card weekend. Your home wild card weekend is a three seed, and then you're on the road divisional. And the only way you host the AFC title game is if there's a bigger upset on right. The other side. Usually not.
So no.
No. No. And I don't even care if that's say they have to go to Houston in that divisional round. Because, okay, you could say, well, they beat Houston, they kicked their ass in week one. Well, Deshaun Watson was like at a quarter of what he's at now. They've had issues with mobile quarterbacks, obviously, throughout, you know,
They're not going to have to go to Houston in the division round.
Well, either way, if they have to go on the road in the division round, I don't like their chances. I really don't. Not with the way that they're playing right now. You know, again, it comes back to what we just saw in this last game at Tennessee, and this happened in November. That's as uncharacteristic a loss I've seen at this time of year since that awful ass-kicking in 2009 in New Orleans. That's when I realized, I look at this team and said, no, you know, they'll make the playoffs. They'll get their token berth into the playoffs just because of the division, and they have the best quarterback and coach combination. But beyond that, the rest of the team mostly stinks, and that's how I look at this team right now. So that's alarming what happened on Sunday.
They've given me no reason to believe they can beat a good team on the road. I mean, I don't have any reason to believe that yet. Now, could that change? Sure. Ask me again in 4 weeks and we'll talk. I don't know. But I'm telling you right now, based on what? I need something tangible to go off. And they have not beaten a good team on the road.
So
they certainly haven't played well on the road.
They at least have to catch Pittsburgh for the 2 seed. That's what you're saying to me. They at least have to catch Pittsburgh for the 2. Right now, it's Kansas City 1-9-1. Pittsburgh is 2-6-2-1. You're 3rd at 7-3. Houston, leading that South Division, is 6-3. Okay, half game behind you. You have the head-to-head tiebreaker. That's why I sort of dismiss Houston.
I got you. Okay.
I don't think Houston's catching you. They have to beat you by a game, Murray, and because you have the head-to-head. So right now you're the 3. You're that half game behind Pittsburgh, or however you treat that tie. You're behind Pittsburgh. If it started tonight. So that head-to-head Pittsburgh game, pretty key. And you think they got to finish ahead of Pittsburgh in the 1 or the 2 to win it all. I think that's fair. I think even as the 1 or 2, this isn't their year as it stands right now. But as a 3 or 4 coming out of the wild card weekend, they've never been that team. They've never been that team. And I don't think this is the team either. But what I look at, when I look at the standings in front of me and the schedules in front of me, the thing is still pretty damn wide open. Kansas City's schedule down the stretch. Again, you have the head-to-head against Kansas City. So you, if you finish tied with them, you finish ahead of them. Kansas City at 9-1 right now. They're at the Rams this weekend, and put a little asterisk with it because that's not a true Rams home game. That's this goofy reschedule from Mexico. So it won't be a true Rams crowd if there even is such a thing. So it's just sort of it's not a true road game, but work with me. KC is at the Rams, at the Raiders, home Baltimore, home Chargers, at Seattle, Raiders. Okay, so take out the 2 Raiders games. Their other games? At Rams, Baltimore, Chargers, at Seattle. You think they have 2 or 3 losses in there?
I mean, the Chargers game, if it was in L.A., I'd think a little bit differently, but that it's in Kansas City, I like Kansas City there.
I give the Chargers a shot. The team that I don't think can win in Kansas City is Baltimore.
Okay, I was going to say, how do you treat Baltimore now?
I mean, it sounds like they're going to be starting Lamar Jackson at quarterback now, so a rookie quarterback? Like, no.
I mean, that team's fading. They're fading. So it looks to me like they're starting to think longer term. But I the Ravens haven't played well. So, like, they're not going to lose both of those. The Chargers could give them a game. I think the Chargers are a little underrated. So I could see Kansas City losing 2 more games if that's where you're going.
I mean, I see at the Rams a potential loss. I just go with potential losses.
Sure.
At the Rams, potential loss. Chargers, potential loss. At Seattle.
Sure, always a tough place.
Week 16, I have no idea if Seattle's in it or not in week 16. They're barely in it now, so if Seattle's playing out the string, all I'm saying is if Seattle's in it, that's a losable game.
Sure it is.
And Baltimore, I don't know. Are Baltimore losable games anymore? I don't know. But I see 2 or 3 losses there for Kansas City, potentially. So they lose 2 or 3 games, you run the table, all of a sudden you're the 1 seed. All of a sudden you're in it. Can I give you Pittsburgh's schedule?
Sure.
Again, they're that half game ahead of you. And again, I keep saying half game. They're just, if you look it up, they're the 2 seed, and I can't tell you exactly why. Winning percent, they're both 4 games over .500, so I don't know how they calculate it. But right now they have Pittsburgh over you.
That stupid tie has to factor in there.
Of course
somewhere.
It does. Yeah, they have one fewer loss.
So I guess that's it. So at Jacksonville, at Denver, home Chargers, at Raiders, Patriots, at New Orleans.
Ooh.
They go at New Orleans the week after you. And then home Cincy. So Pittsburgh's on a roll. They're hot. I'm sorry. The Chargers is a losable game for them.
Definitely.
The Patriots are a losable game for them.
I think they could lose one of the next 2.
New Orleans is a losable game for them. Never mind the next 2, which are 2 straight road games at Jacksonville, at Denver. I think they got maybe 3 potential losses there.
Sure.
And so I just think it's wide open. If you get on a roll, I think you can catch both of these teams.
So I think their chances are a hell of a lot better with Pittsburgh than they are with Kansas City. Because, like, you got to factor in. And I'm not telling you that things always hold true. But we're also talking about Kansas City currently being 9-1. So for Kansas City to lose 3 games would be a huge departure from how they've played thus far, right?
All you have to do is lose 2 if you run the table. and you're both tied with three losses, and you have the tiebreaker.
Okay, if you run the table, you think the Patriots are going to run the table?
No.
Come on, Murray. Say it louder.
So, this is what I'm saying. Is you
at Patriots, at Jets, home mini, at Miami, at Pittsburgh. And then at 16-17, our home Buffalo Jets will give those wins. The next four, at the Jets versus Minnesota, at Miami, at Pittsburgh.
Those are the four. I mean, those are the ones. Like, I have felt this way all along when you look at that six-game stretch that the Patriots were going to play. This is it. They got four to go, and they're 1-1.
If they're playing the way that they're playing, I see two losses in there. If they continue their crap bag play, especially on the road. If they improve, they should at least go 3-1, if not 4-0, in those four games. But if they continue to play this way...
Oh, yeah, no, it's two more losses, for sure.
I mean
that back-to-back at Pittsburgh, at Miami, they're definitely losing one of those.
I don't know.
The way that they're playing right now.
Even in a good year, even when they're rolling, they're good for an AFC East hiccup. They just are. I mean, usually on the road, sometimes it's the Jets with something funky. Usually it's Miami. But they're usually good for an AFC East hiccup. So at Jets, I'm not willing to, you know, at Jets, at Miami... But if they get on a roll, if they get their act together, I think they can easily catch Kansas City and Pittsburgh. This is just sort of, as I look at it, and I look at those schedules, I see potential losses. I think if they get their act together, they could catch those teams.
Okay, so when you say easily, you mean mathematically.
Yes, correct. Thank you. Okay. Mathematically, there is a path there. There is a definite path for the Patriots.
Sure. I'll give you the math. Yep. They're not out of it mathematically.
What gets interesting to me is if they catch Kansas City... And the Chargers win that division. How do you feel about that? Would you rather go into Kansas City or the Chargers? In other words, who do you feel is a more beatable opponent?
San Diego. The Chargers, LA. Yeah. LA. Sorry. Yeah. Bad habit. I'm sorry.
You think the Chargers are a more beatable opponent than Kansas City?
I do. Yeah, that with the Patriots defense against that Kansas City offense in Kansas City.
10-degree day. Andy Reid in the playoffs. January in Kansas City. They have it's in their DNA, Murray. You've talked about all the time. That Chiefs team has it in their DNA.
Yeah.
And 10-degree day. And Dante Hightower at linebacker.
You, Felger, always talk about every dog has its day. The world is upside down in sports now. All these loser teams have found ways to win. So I don't even have much confidence in that anymore either.
If the playoffs began tonight, you know who your wild card game is at home, Gillette Stadium? Cincinnati.
Oh, God. That's a layup win.
Layup is right.
If it began tonight, 3-6. Right now, Cincinnati's the 6. At 5-4, Tennessee's tied at 5-4. Very easily, Tennessee can catch Cincinnati in that 6th seed. And here comes Mike Vrabel and the Titans again. How do you feel about that game in the rematch?
Here? I like the Patriots.
Me too. I think you'll kill them.
Not great.
You don't?
No. I really don't. I think that Tennessee team mostly stinks, but they'd be confident. They know how to move the ball against you. That defense certainly would be confident, even if they had to come in here. Look, even if it was only for like maybe a quarter and a half, that game was somewhat competitive in the divisional round last year with that team.
I think it's payback. I think Deion Lewis gets served in that game, and I think I think that's a good spot for you. What Vrabel did it to you once. Is he going to do it twice?
I'm not worried about them in the wild card round at home, if that's what it comes
Me
to.
Me neither.
I'm not worried.
Did you feel that way when Baltimore came here and stomped them in 2009?
I was worried that year. I mean, what did they go, 10-6 that year? That year I was worried.
Yeah, even though I didn't believe in that team, I didn't think they were going to lose like that. That game was over in 5 minutes in 2009 against that Baltimore team. And what did Flacco have, like 40 yards passing?
Folks, can the Patriots win on the road in the playoffs?
Hell yeah, it's personal. That's what happens when you go cheap. You get your ass kicked.
Oh, that'll come back up. That'll come back up, Deion Lewis. I would like the Patriots at home against the Titans. I'd like them against anyone at home in the playoffs.
Yeah, you'd have to ask Tom.
Thank you, Bill. Even when they suck, I'll take him at home in the playoffs. Even when they're not a good team, I'll take him at home in the playoffs. Do they need to be home in the playoffs this year?
Yeah, you'd have to ask Tom.
Okay, we'll ask him if we get that chance, Bill. How about you people? 617-779-0985, right to you after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
Hand off to Patterson, a run to the left, engulfed and swallowed up, and he is thrown down. And boy, the Titans are having their way right now. They're celebrating, they're preening after every play, and they've earned the opportunity. Vrabel's going to run across the field and meet his former head coach. They'll shake hands in the aftermath of a game that's going to have plenty of fallout in really the 2 weeks to come as the Patriots head into a bye after being beaten 34-10.
When's the last Pats with a third seed in November? When's the last time they had to come from behind just to get a bye this close to Thanksgiving? I can't remember it. They haven't played on Wild Card Weekend since 2009. It's been a freaking decade.
Yeah, and that one went well.
Think about it. But just, I mean, that is preposterous that they've never had to play on Wild Card Weekend in 9 years. They've had that weekend off. And I can't even remember, even 2011 when they weren't terrific, they were home for the AFC title game. You know, that's how they beat Baltimore that year. So they have to come from behind like this just to be the 2 seed? When's the last time that happened?
Can't remember.
Okay, so that's where they are.
I mean, they basically won 12 games a year every year for like almost 10 years now. 12. I'm not talking double digits. Like, they win 75% of their games just about every year.
So they can still get to 12 this year. I mean, they can have Lawson get to 12. It might not be good enough. Your thoughts? Here's Mike and Peabody. Go ahead, Michael.
Patriot Nation better be rooting and hoping for Cincinnati to stay right in that 6th spot, because that is the only team we have a shot at beating. Because you know the Titans definitely ain't getting in the playoffs. There's no chance. So my issue with this team is the fact that Tom Brady is so far in between the ruler and, you know, the almighty ruler of this team now. Bill Belichick has no say, and it starts from the top. I hope Bob Kraft's happy, because now the players are running the organization, and look what they get.
Okay, well,
they get the 6th seed, and that's the only win they'll have in the playoffs.
Okay, let's see about that. I don't know. Tennessee has a very, very copacetic schedule. Tennessee at Indy this week. Indy's also 4-5, game behind those teams.
Yeah, that's no gimme for Tennessee. Yeah,
of course. How do you feel about Indianapolis this year?
Ugh, pathetic.
They've been playing better.
Yeah, they've gotten better, but they're still garbage.
Coming in here, you'd give them no thought.
Here? Are you crazy?
I'm just asking.
No!
Maz, how'd that second half of that Thursday night game go? I mean, I know you can look at it now and say, like, that was an easy win for them. Okay, in the first half. In the second half, they got shredded.
Yeah, no way. They're not coming in here and winning in January. They're not. They're just not.
Tennessee's schedule the rest of the way. At Indy. At Houston. Home Jets, home Jags. At Giants. Home Washington. Home Colts.
There's at least 2 losses in there. Maybe 3. Maybe 4.
you're still not buying.
I mean, they're not going to win Houston.
They're not going to win at Houston?
No. Houston's been rolling. Like, they're not going to win at Houston.
I think Tennessee top to bottom is a better team.
Than Houston?
I do.
I don't.
I do.
I don't. Houston's got a better quarterback.
I think those 3 teams are basically the same.
Aren't
Tennessee,
they?
Houston, and Indy.
No, Indy sucks.
See, I think I put Tennessee above them all. I think their defense is better than all of them.
Houston, Tennessee, Indy, that's the order. You guys are wrong.
Tennessee's decent at all 3 levels of the defense. Where Houston, it's all in their D-line, but their secondary blows.
Indianapolis is going to end up with the defensive rookie of the year in that Leonard kid at linebacker.
Tennessee also has, and again, I would like the Patriots in that matchup, but I mean, at least Vrabel has a clue against you. Bill O'Brien, how many cracks has he gotten at you just to be embarrassed every single time? So, no, I don't take... No, I like Tennessee in that division.
Tennessee's probably got the best coach in the group. But Houston's got more balance offensively and defensively. Tennessee's offense sucks. And it sucks. The fact that the Patriots gave up 34 to that team is an embarrassment.
David Plymouth. Hi, David. What do you got?
So, I think the Pittsburgh game basically is going to decide it. You know, either we're going to get the number 2 seed at that point because they got to go to New Orleans, or we're playing on Wild Card Weekend, you know, and like that caller said, let's hope for Cincinnati, because I don't want to see Mike Vrabel coming in here. I mean, what have we always said? Coaches come into Foxborough and they lose their minds. Do you think Vrabel's going to lose his mind in Foxborough? He played here.
No.
He's not going to lose his mind.
You're right. You're right.
So, I mean, I really think I don't like a second matchup. The only thing I like about it is that Belichick's track record when he plays a team the second time around, and especially if he gets embarrassed the first time around, he makes the adjustments, and they come out, you know, they play differently.
So, David, that's a conventional wisdom. When you actually go look at it, it's not – I know we've done this in the past. It doesn't hold up. There have been plenty of teams that have beaten you twice. Denver, I think, has done it a couple times. When I say twice, you know, they won the regular season game and then the playoffs. Indy did it a couple times in that, like, 05, 06 area. They did it to you in 06, for sure. I know that. I think Baltimore's done it to you. I think Denver's done it. I'm looking up right now. Did the Patriots play the Ravens in 2009 regular season?
I don't remember.
I don't remember that either. Look at this. As a talk show host, am I rooting for Tennessee again? Because I just, you know, again, Vrabel's not afraid of you. In fact, he's so not afraid of you, he probably wants you again, that prick. You know, so like he has that attitude. The Deion Lewis running his yapper there after the game. Vrabel pantsing you on that double. The whole thing. Like, bring it back. Like, roll that right back. And yes, you played Baltimore in 2009. You beat them. You beat Baltimore in the regular season 2009, but they came here and then beat you in the playoffs, if I'm looking at the right year. So that second time is no guarantee.
I mean, that playoff game when they came in here, I think Flacco threw 10 passes.
I think it
4 for 10.
Something like that. Correct.
He threw 10 passes and they scored in the 30s.
Hell, this is off the top of my head. You played the Giants twice in 07. How did that work out? I think you played the Giants twice in 2011.
Yep.
Yeah they did. Yeah.
Manning threw a last second, like 10-second left touchdown.
That year they lost both.
Yes. Yeah. When you really look at it that second time around, no guarantee, and it doesn't look so great for the Patriots.
By the way, that 2011 season you were talking about, just because I looked it up, in the division round they played Denver here, that was Tebow. 45-10.
Tough win.
That was a hard
Tebow
one.
Tebow was rolling that year.
Uh-huh.
We've got, go ahead, Albert in Rhode Island, go.
You know, it really sparks an emotional reaction out of me whenever I hear either your callers or Murray sitting on the far side, and you guys try to take Brady, make him exempt from any blame and responsibility. To quote you, Murray, they have the greatest coach and quarterback combination in the history of the sport, and the rest of the team sucks. Murray, newsflash, Patriots fans, your quarterback sucks. He's dead last against the blitz. He's not hitting anything that's not an underneath wide-open pass to James White or a dinky-dunk completion that at this point Eli Manning could make. Your quarterback sucks. Your real quarterback is on the other side of the country, and this is the old schlep that the owner forced the coach who wanted the old schlep to go to play with.
Okay, I'll just cut you off there, Albert, as usual. A little strong. A lot strong.
I mean, I meant that historically, but, and normally I don't agree with a lot of what Albert has to say when he calls, but, you know, I'm strongly concerned about the play of the quarterback, and I was saying that on Monday, and you're like, no, you guys were actually kind of downplaying it. No, I think collectively, because I think that there's something real wrong, whether it's an injury or age, because these guys go off a cliff like that.
That's what I disagree with you on, that it's injury or age. I don't think his...
Because it's not just one week, Mike. He's been bad for, like, weeks.
I know.
Been good.
From day one. And you know how I feel about this. It's not injury and it's not age. It's what you put into it, and he's putting less into it. That's a temporary condition, by the way. If he goes full hog next year, I think you'll get the same quarterback next year. So I think that's what it is. I think he put less into it, plain and simple. I think he's the number one reason they're teetering. And not that he sucks or is a problem, but he's got to be so good, and he has been so good, and he's overcome the defense, and he's overcome the issues, that's how they're sort of constructed. He has to solve their problems.
I don't think it's just about how much he's putting in. I don't. Personnel around him is a factor, too. And the injury thing, how can you just eliminate age?
Because he proved to me he can excel at a late age. He proved it.
Okay, so again,
I felt this way when he was 37, Maz, okay? And I was wrong. He proved he could be elite at an advanced age. He proved it. So I'm not going to now turn around when he struggles and say, now he's too old. No. He took that argument off the table.
I didn't tell you to say he was old. All I said was, how do you eliminate it as a possibility?
I don't think it accounts for the entire gap. You know, if age is 2, 3, 4, 5% of the problem. He's dropped 20, 25% from what he's always been. So the drop, it doesn't account for the entire drop. I'll give you a little. I mean, sure.
I just think that, because if you say, he played well last year at 40, now he's 41. So using that logic, he'll never get old.
No, I think it's a gradual thing if it's age.
If it's injury, I'm not convinced of that. Because I think it can be fast.
See, I think all the guys that fell off drastically had injury, like debilitating injury. Manning's neck, Montana's was it ankles, elbow.
Yeah, but Manning's neck, he was fine until he stopped taking something, I imagine. And then I remember it was around this time in that whatever that was, 2015, 14, whatever it was. It was like all of a sudden, like, wow, he can't throw. He sucks.
Okay, Brady doesn't look like that. Not even close.
No, but
not even close.
He's not making easy throws that he has in the past, and he's ducking and chucking pretty much every single time, at least based on this last game.
Yeah, I'm not letting him off the hook for how he's for the work he's put in.
I'm definitely not doing that.
It starts there, baby. It starts there. It always has. When he was going great, it started there, and now that he's not, I think it starts there. We'll have more on Brady, more on all this coming up with your phone calls. I do want to do a quick Bruins minute off of last night's game in Colorado and some pretty scary injury news from the team. We'll do that right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's a lower body. I don't have much. I don't know. I assume that they'll have to. I didn't get a really report. All they told me was he was out for the rest of the night. And usually that takes a day to get looked at, whether that's in Dallas or he has to go home. I have no idea. But I'm sure we'll have more news on it tomorrow.
All right, there's a Cassidy cut in it again on Zdeno Chara. Goes out in the first period last night with a knee injury. If you've seen the video, doesn't look good at all. Goes into check from behind Carl Soderberg. Remember him?
Sure, yeah.
The angry one-eyed Swede?
Yeah. Right, very good.
The first thing that stood out to me is it's amazing that doesn't happen more often. The gangly giraffe that is Zdeno Chara. 6'9", like, I fear, like, his knee would be buckling all over the place. I'm surprised that doesn't happen more often.
Yeah, but you see him do those box jumps and how he takes care of himself. That's the only reason I think he's not more hurt.
He's an absolute freak. Tremendous work ethic. So, anyway, he finished the shift. So, that's what leads you to believe it's not horrible. You know, he finished the shift. So, either way, he's out. He's out. He's going to be out for a little bit. Maybe a little bit, maybe longer. Either way. If you watched that game last night, the Colorado Avalanche basically skated circles around you. They skated circles around the Bruins. And it really started when Chara went out. So for those of you who like to rip on Zdeno Chara, that's life without Zdeno Chara last night. It's not pretty. It's not pretty. That first line in Colorado, that great line of theirs, McKinnon and whatnot, after he went out, it was like, release the hounds. Circle the wagons. They skated circles around you.
I mean, there was one goal they scored that I saw. The guy intercepted the puck in front of his own goal and just raced down the ice, and I don't remember who got the goal. It was ridiculous. The Bruins looked like they were standing still.
Colorado is super fast. And Char doesn't close the speed gap.
No, he had a couple of, it looked like one or two bad turnovers before he got hurt and left. But after he left, it was like a...
off to the races. Yeah. It was off to the races, man. And so that's life without Zdeno Chara. I've come around on him the last couple of years, just his value. Now that his salary has gone down and people are no longer treating him like a Norris candidate, now that he's just a good defensive defenseman, I'm in on Zdeno Chara. And if you're down on Zdeno Chara, go back and watch last night and see what that looked like without him on the ice. Because all of a sudden, that McKinnon line, free reign. And now without Zdeno Chara, what their pairings are. You know what their pairing was last night?
I was just going to say, I mean, how many guys are they down now? If they lose him, too, that's three of their top six.
They had Krug and Grizzlick in one pairing. Krug and Grizzlick. Like, a scene from...
Slapshot?
No. Oh, God.
Mighty Ducks?
No, never mind. I was going to make a little person joke. They had little people out there. I just can't remember the movie's name. Tory Krug and Matt Grizzlick? On one pairing? You get stomped.
It's like watching Pee-wees.
You get stepped on. It's just, you can't put those guys, but that's where they're at. So here's what their defensive pairings could look like tomorrow night in Dallas. First pairing, Krug and John Moore. Who's John Moore, you ask? The veteran free agent they signed in the offseason. He's actually been decent. Second pairing.
This ought to be good. Kampfer.
Matt Greslick and Stephen Kampfer.
Got that one right.
Third pairing.
this ought to be fun.
Jeremy Lozon and Jacob Zboril. First ever NHL game. So that is frightening. That is frightening. I think they've done well. They've been without McAvoy now for a while. They've been without Carlo for a while. They've been without Kevin Miller for, it feels like, almost a whole year. So they've been depleted on defense from day one. And they're still keeping the puck out of the net. I'm just looking it up. They are 7th in the league in goals against.
And they've had a couple of brutal games lately. They had a 6-goaler last night, and they had the 8-goaler last week against Vancouver.
And then the opener against Philly, Washington, if you want to add that in. So they're 7th in the league in goals against. That's not goals per game, so it's, you know, different teams have played different amount of games. But they're one of the league leaders in goals. So I actually think they've overachieved to be where they are in the standings and to be where they are in terms of goals against with all those guys out. And what they're starting to roll out there on a nightly basis, Steve Kampfer, you know, minor leaguer.
I mean, the defenseman thing is worrisome. You've got the four guys you have out now could beat the crap out of the six guys you have playing, for crying out loud. Seriously.
I mean, arguably,
it's like four of your top five defensemen.
No. Arguably, your top four are out. I mean, because I still treat Krug as a third pairing guy. I mean, it's Chara, McAvoy, Carlo. And if Kevin Miller's in there, so right, you know, you're right. Arguably, your top four.
I mean, it's unbelievable the number of guys they get out if Chara's out too.
And they, to this point, still kept the puck out of the net. Last night, not so much. They were skating circles around them last night. But it's really started with Chara, and there's just something about Chara and his reach and his presence on the ice that gets opposing players to just sort of hold up or pull back, or they just can't get the head of steam when he's out there versus when he's not. And, you know, I don't know what the matchups were, but, I mean, you're telling me that 1 minute Nate McKinnon and those guys are going against Zdeno Chara and the next are going against Greslick and Krug? It's like school's out, field day. Like, here we go. And that's what it looked like.
I mean, they were up 3-2 going into the third period. They gave up 4 goals.
They were up 3-1. So, I mean, starting in the second, it was, and they were lucky to get the third, DeBrusque breakaway was just a gift. But either way, they were outmatched last night. And it wasn't just Chara. Like, Colorado's first line beat up the erection line. That perfection line? Perfection line. Little limp. Bergeron got worked at the faceoff dot. He ended up losing 12 out of 21. It was much worse for most of the night. I guess he probably recovered in the third period. But Bergeron takes a minus one. Only won 43% of his draws. And that other line, their top line, was better than yours. But it started with Chara. So those of you who want Chara gone, be careful what you wish for. Because last night was a little glimpse into the future, and it was not pretty. You want to add that to the list of our Patriots conversation? You may. We'll get to you in our long commercial-free segment right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady from the gun, takes the snap, looks toward Edelman, throws it instead right for the receiver down the sideline, Gordon, and no chance. He was well covered by Adoree Jackson.
Are you kidding me?
He was not open.
I don't even understand the call. 3rd and 4. You're faking that bubble screen to the left. You got the stack with Edelman and Hogan over there. You got a guy in his hip pocket. You're trying to go vertical on 3rd and 4. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
The 11th target for Gordon, who has four catches.
Something that's starting to get a lot of attention is the Patriots and Tom Brady forcing the ball to Josh Gordon. The Belichick cut after the game sort of exacerbated it by saying, "We don't call pass plays that go to one player unless it's a screen," implying that's Brady's decision to keep going to him.
Yeah, you have to ask Tom.
Exactly. And the answer to that, the question there was a little bit of a different question, but it came right after the target question, so we sort of...
Yeah, you have to ask Tom.
That's through the Felger Mass Processor. We're treating it as one topic.
Brought to you by KitchenAid.
I mean, it was right after the first. It was all the same tone. We know what Bill was saying.
The Intel Felger Mass Processor.
We did not tell him to go to Gordon 12 times. That was his call. So yesterday, let's do a little bit of Brady sound because we're going to pick apart and read into some of the things he said yesterday, which is always fun. Not much to read into here. Here's Brady on spreading the ball and getting it to more receivers.
Talked about a lot of things and try to be more productive. I mean, I think we have a lot of good players, and I think it's just a matter of, you know, everyone getting their job done the right way and the way that we expect, doing things with a lot of effort and a lot of confidence. We've done that kind of at different times this year. Certain times it's been better than others. You know, we'll see how it goes as we move forward.
Okay, I think he's talking to Josh Gordon there. And so a lot of this is going to be a Josh Gordon commentary because I heard Zoe talking about this today. And I read into Zoe because Zoe talks to Brady. And they were talking today on the midday, Beadle and Zoe, 10 to 2 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, that Gordon isn't very confident in the offense. And you don't need to tell him about effort. Like, Gordon ain't really an effort guy. So when Tom Brady says it's just a matter of getting their job done the right way and the way that we expect, doing things with a lot of effort and a lot of confidence, I think he's talking directly, squarely about Josh Gordon. Okay, they're obviously set on getting him the ball. And Zoe was saying today that they still think that this guy, when he unlocks, when he gets confident in the offense, sky's the limit. Top off the defense. And that's who they think that they are. So they are really working hard on this guy.
I mean, he's not talking about Edelman.
Exactly.
Hogan's been around now for a few years, and I don't know. I mean, I don't think Hogan's dogging it. Like, so
who else is he talking about, right?
It's got to be Gordon. I mean, I maybe Dorsett, but Dorsett looked all right early in the year, so it's got to be Gordon.
Here's another Brady thing. How about the offense's identity? People have said, what do they hang their hat on? It's a good point. What really are they? Here's Tom Brady on that.
I think we're definitely, you know, trying to find things that this is the first really chance we've had to evaluate that. And there's been a lot of moving parts this year for one reason or another, with the receivers, tight ends, running backs, a little bit with the O-line, not so much with the quarterback position.
Okay. So you read into that?
Well, someone pointed this out to me. I mean, like, you know, what's the identity of the team? Well, you know, we've had a lot of moving parts. I mean, you know, wide receiver, running back, tight end, you know, some of the bit on the O-line. Not quarterback. What? Oh, I get it. It's not your fault. Oh, it's not your fault. Right. Everything else has changed. Someone pointed this out to me, and I thought it was a good observation. Oh, right, not quarterback. Everything else has changed. So is this Tom's way of saying, hey, guys, you know, we had a good offense last year, and a lot of things have changed except for one, me. I haven't changed. I'm still here. Now, he didn't get into whether or not he attended OTAs or anything of the like, but nonetheless, let's let that go for a minute. I don't know, not so much a quarterback. Like, I don't know, just felt like a little bit of a weaselly way to point out that everything has changed but him.
Or a shot at Belichick as the GM.
Well, exactly.
Right. Right. No, yeah, exactly. That is what that is. Except, I mean, that might be what he's saying. Except I contend he's the only thing that's changed. They've always had moving pieces up front. Always. Always, always, always. The offensive line is a work in progress till Dante figures it out the second half of the year. And I think their offensive line has been more stable this year than most, frankly. So don't give me that crap. Moving parts in terms of tight ends and Gronk's always hurt. So don't act like this is new. That's ridiculous. And there was flux at receiver, but there's usually guys in and out. This is a team that has dealt with that, and Brady's overcome that better than any player I've ever seen in the history of sports. Now all of a sudden there's a lot of moving pieces. Since when has that stopped you? That's never stopped you before. Let's read into more of this. He picks up this answer again on the offense's identity.
I think that's all part of, you know, what we're trying to do. You know, we got to get out there and practice together, and that transitions if you practice well, you know, you can gain a lot of confidence, and ultimately you go out and you play confidently because you can play aggressively knowing what the other guys are doing. We just haven't had that, I would say, overall consistency and the ability to practice together, which that's not an excuse. I mean, everything goes through that. You know, a lot of teams deal with injuries and moving parts and bringing different people in. That's just part of football. But we're trying to adjust and adapt like everyone else. Some weeks it's been better than others, but we're just trying to grind our way through it.
Okay, so now they can't have good practices because what?
I know that, clearly they're not practicing well.
If you practice well, you can gain a lot of confidence, and ultimately that transitions to the game field, is what he's saying. You go out and play, and then you ultimately go out and play confidently, again with the confidence thing, because you can play aggressively, knowing what the other guys are doing. We just haven't had that. Why haven't you been able to practice consistently?
Good question.
Because Gronk is in and out? Since when is that new? Gronk's always in and out. Is Gordon dogging it on the practice field? Because again, I think a lot of this is about Gordon. We know his history. We know what he is. Has he been out there? Is he not out there? Is he engaging? Is he trying? Is he giving effort on the practice field? Is he giving you a good look at practice? Because it wouldn't surprise me one bit if he's not.
So maybe that is what it is. Like, I take out of that comment they're not having good practices.
Has Edelman been held out of practices? Like, I don't pay attention to the injury report. Maybe I should.
So I don't think it's about Gronk missing practice. I think that when they're on the practice field, they're not practicing well. So the question is, who's he talking? Gordon's got to be one of them.
There has been days that Edelman's missed, but that's because of ankle or whatever the hell's going on with him injury-wise.
So I just read into that. So if you practice well, you can gain a lot of confidence and ultimately go out and you play confidently. Again, the confidence thing. He's talking a lot about, I mean, how many times have you mentioned confidence in here? Does Edelman lack for confidence? Has Hogan ever lacked for confidence? Maybe it's crept into his game because Brady shut him out. I don't know. But does Cordarrelle Patterson lack confidence?
No.
The guy freaking thinks he's God's gift.
Gale Sayers.
A playmaker.
Okay, but does he strike you as the kind of guy that practices well?
No.
I mean, has he ever improved as a root runner or receiver?
I'm just sort of picking at the confident thing. Brady keeps hitting the confidence issue,
Yeah, so listen, I know what you're saying is Brady's making excuses on some level, and I think that that is true. I also think that he's criticizing the team for the way they practice. And I don't know, a little bit of hypocrisy.
Yeah, a guy won't even show up.
So like, you know, I just find it interesting that, I don't know, the whole comment, they don't practice well, and then you can't help but go to Brady skips OTAs. All this stuff has changed except me. Like, I hear the whole thing and say, is anything right?
And for him,
anything.
For him to use that word right now, confidence after the game he just had. Okay, I don't know, over the better part of 20 years, yes, Tom Brady was probably one of the more confident quarterbacks you'll ever watch in your life, where he steps up in the pocket and will buy the time so he can find the open receiver. He didn't do that on Sunday at all. It was just duck and chuck. And believe me, again, I was there. Bedard's watched it all 22. Anyone that is on that NFL Game Pass app, you can see for yourself, there's guys open. He just didn't want to get hit. So for him to use the word confidence, I don't know. Look in the mirror, dude. You're the one with the 17 touchdown to 7 pick seven interception ratio right now with a quarterback rating of like 94. It starts with him.
What's different about this team? It's the passing game and Brady. That's what's different about this team. Let's pick this up on the other side right after Murray's 90-second commercial. It's not a commercial. It's a commercial-free update. Then it's us.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.